Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel message this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it's the good news that brings joy and changes lives forever. God, I just thank you that this morning, oh God, as we look into your word, I thank you, Father, that we hear and we understand and we answer your call today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to open up by going to Matthew 4, 17 through 20. And by the way, good morning. It's good to see everyone. I pray you had a good week. Matthew 4, 17 through 20. I had some oral surgery this week, so I wasn't like on top of my game. But on Monday, before I went in for surgery on Tuesday, the Lord began to speak to me about this message. And because I always ask the Lord, Father, what is it that you want to share on Sunday morning with our congregation? What's on your heart? And he said, tell them to follow me, and I will make them fishers of men. And so this morning we're going to take a look in Matthew. And Matthew wrote this book for the Jews. And so he's talking about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. So let's read 4:17 through 20. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. So in the New Testament, Jesus proclaimed with authority the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. In this chapter, the beginning of this chapter, Jesus is in the wilderness and Satan is testing him. And after he came out of the wilderness, he began to preach the gospel of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And the reason Matthew used this term heaven is because the Jews were very reverential about even saying the name of God. And if they were a scribe and they were writing the name of God, they would actually stop, go through a washing ceremony before they would even write the name of God. And so he uses kingdom of heaven more than he uses kingdom of God, but the two are interchangeable. So in the New Testament, the word kingdom means this. It means to rule, to reign, authority. And rather than a place or a specific realm. So the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, refers to the rule of God. When the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus was announcing the rule of God, of an invisible kingdom. The Jewish leaders wanted a political leader. They wanted someone to come and deliver them from Rome. But what Jesus was bringing was a spiritual kingdom. And this spiritual kingdom rules in the hearts of people. Jesus was releasing a spiritual kingdom to rule in the hearts of men. When we look around and we see at all the problems that are going on in the world today, or in the world today, I have a phrase that I love to say, and that is the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. There are so many organizations, so many groups that want to solve and be a part of what is going on. But church, unless God changes hearts, there is no lasting peace. There is no lasting peace. People will not change if there is not a heart change. And so this spiritual kingdom that Jesus was bringing into the world released the rule of God into people's hearts. We can have that today. And that's the good news of the kingdom. Hey, we all need heart surgery. We all need a heart change. We're all born in sin. The good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ gave his life for us so that we are no longer slaves to sin. Satan is an evil taskmaster. And when you see people acting out in the earth, it's because Satan is their taskmaster. He drives people. Okay, we're not going to go there this morning. Hallelujah. But Jesus, we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus and a spiritual kingdom this morning. Because it is the kingdom that rules forever, right? You know, God's word is the only thing that is eternal in the heavens. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I want to follow Jesus because I know I can count on him. He's not going to change up on me. He's not going to move the goal line. We all know how many times the goal line has been moved with this COVID-19 virus. We're changing the goal line. We're moving the boundary. Now you have to jump through this hoop. And then we have another hoop, and then another hoop. But see, God's not like that. He's got one message, and it's the message of the kingdom. And it is good news that brings us joy because it saves us forever. We can count on it. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at, I broke this down into three areas. The first one is the invitation. Jesus said, follow me. And that same invitation goes out to everyone sitting in this congregation this morning, everyone listening online. The invitation goes out. Jesus is saying, follow me. Become one of my disciples. He's called us to be salt and light in the earth. He's called us to make a difference. Is that right? The church is the defining factor. You are the defining factor in the world today. You know, for so long, the church can kick the can down the road and put the responsibility on someone else. And we as individuals often do that. But Jesus is calling us into account in this season. He's saying, I'm inviting you to follow me, and this is what that means. It doesn't mean that we sit on the pew and we keep our mouth shut. Do you remember the study we did on do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward? Does anyone remember that study we did? We studied on that for a few months as we were talking about the saving of our soul and the maturing of our soul. That word confidence means to speak boldly. Don't cast away your testimony. Don't stop talking because you're afraid. You see, fear would try to shut us down in this season, and we cannot let fear shut us down. There's fear of COVID, and honestly, there is fear of man, because you never know how the devil's going to respond in someone when you start talking about the truth of the gospel of the kingdom of God. These things make demons manifest in people. And if you don't believe in demons, wake up. Look out in the streets. You see, people are not the problem. The problem's the problem. And the problem is a heart condition in our country. It is a heart condition because we choose to do things our way instead of seeking God together. I believe God has a plan. But we've got to get in a place where we can agree that there even is a God in our country. Hallelujah. One nation under God. We are one nation under God. So anyway, God was calling them out. to be his voice in the earth. He didn't have a plan B, church. He did not have a plan B. This is the only plan God has, and that is for the church to take the good news of the gospel to the world. He didn't have another plan. He was counting on his disciples. And let's think about it. He called a group of fishermen together. Most of his disciples, they say 4 to 7 of them were fishermen, professional fishermen. And he was counting on these disciples to spread the good news of the gospel. And I read a little story about Gabriel in heaven saying to Jesus, "Well, do you have another plan? You mean you're going to count on these few guys that are uneducated, that you only had 3 years with, to carry this plan out for you?" And Jesus said, "Absolutely." And so that has never changed. It is on you. Tell your neighbor, it's on you. Because everybody is following something. So the question this morning is, will you follow Jesus? When we follow him, we keep his commandments. We do good to others. We show that loving kindness that we talked about last week. We can tell we're Jesus' followers if we live out his truth and walk in his light. Walking in the light means that we believe that the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross for our sins. Jesus gave his life. When we're walking in the light, when we're walking with the Lord, we're walking with that belief that we are no longer slaves to sin. The world has no hold on us. The world is not directing us. If you're not careful, you'll get in the current of the world. Have you noticed the current's pretty strong? Right now, the current's pretty strong. You can get into that current of the world, and you can get trapped in that. But we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are different. Tell your neighbor, you are really different. Really peculiar, the scripture says. We are a strange bunch. And I'm sure that's how it looks to the world when you're living for God. What a strange bunch. But the peace we possess, the joy that we have in our soul, in the midst of difficult circumstances, the world cannot give that to us. We've got good news, church. Tell your neighbor, you got good news. Let's read our scriptures that go with this invitation. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I like what the video said. It said, "Repent from all the ways you have run from me and follow me." Did you notice that? Jesus just said, "Repent of all the ways you've ran from me and follow me." And if we'll do that, we can walk in the light. Let's read the next one. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We use that scripture a lot. And it is the truth. If we abide in his word, then he will reveal his will to us. But you see, there is this commitment that we have to make first to get in his word. We like it easy. We like it easy. And we want God to tell us all the details before we commit to the bottom line. And that is not how God works. God says, you commit, you abide in my word, and then you're going to know the truth, you're going to experience the truth, and the truth will set you free. And nobody can steal that from you. You know, your truth, what God has done for you, is your testimony. Nobody can take that from you. It's good news. And what you have and what God has done for you is so valuable in this time and in this season. And that's what our assignment is all about. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. And that term, fishers of men, was not new. Now, you read some commentaries or some stories or articles written on it, and they'll say, oh, they were probably so surprised when he said they would make them fishers of men. But when you go back into the studies, it was a phrase that was a common phrase at that time. The Greek and Roman philosophers used it to describe the work of man, of the man who seeks to teach others by teaching and persuasion. So it was a term that was understood in that culture. So fishing for men is one of the pictures used in the Bible for evangelism. And God probably used it in this passage because these guys were fishermen. They had an assignment. And like I shared, they were professional fishermen. And you might wonder, why would God pick a bunch of rugged guys to work with him? They were common, ordinary people. And they were, let's just talk about fishing for a moment in that era and even today. A fisherman doesn't just sit around and do nothing. A fisherman is going to keep himself active because he always has something to do. If he's not out fishing, he's maintaining his equipment. Anyone who runs a business knows or runs a home that you really don't have much time just to sit around. You've got things to take care of. And most of the time, professional people are people who are hard workers, are the ones that are that get things done. Ask a busy person to help you. Usually, you're going to find they're going to get things done for you. They don't procrastinate. So they either had a catch that they were sorting, or they were preparing to go out, or they were mending their equipment. And so the Lord needs people who are not afraid to work. God ordained work before the fall, and he loves it when we're on task for him every day. To go out into the highways and the byways and wherever we're at, to share good news, to share our testimony. So he picked a group of people that were, they were adaptable to different conditions. Sea of Galilee that they fished on was known to be a sea that storms would just come up suddenly. And so they were always watching the skies and being aware of what was going on with the weather, because it affected their ability to get back to shore, or it affected their ability to catch. And depending upon the condition of the water was how they decided which kind of nets they were going to put out. They had three different kinds of nets. So they were adaptable. They had knowledge about what they were doing. And they were courageous because they didn't know what to expect. Most of the time, people like to know what's going to happen. How many likes to know what's going to happen? Most of us are like that, hallelujah, but we don't know what's going to happen when we begin to step out into the water and begin to share what God has done for us. We don't know if people are going to accept it or reject it, but that is not the issue. The issue is that you have an assignment, and are you going to complete your assignment and share with somebody the good news of what God has done for you? So even when opposition comes, and it will come, Jesus said the world hated him, it will hate you. But there are fish in the ocean that Jesus wants you to speak to. Let's go on and read our scriptures here. Are we on Mark 16:15? Okay, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone is to hear the gospel of the kingdom. We taught a few weeks ago upon the signs of the times. When is Jesus coming back? When the gospel has been preached to the ends of the earth. And we see the signposts. We see the signs increasing. We talked about how there are birthing pains coming forth. God is birthing forth the kingdom of God. It will manifest in the earth one of these days. Right now it's in the spirit. But it's coming forth because Jesus is coming again in all of his glory. I'm looking forward to that coming. Hallelujah. You know, we've heard that message for years. But we look at the signs of the times that we are living in, and we know that there are birthing pains. I heard on the news the other day, I was listening to the hurricane updates, and they said hurricanes are getting more and more frequent, and they're getting more and more fierce. And that is what they said on the news. And so that is one of the signs. This earth is in labor. The earth is groaning for the sons of God to be manifested. That's you. Tell your neighbor, that's you. You see, when we share the good news, we're manifesting as a son of God. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. This is talking about the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You see, on the day of Pentecost, when God poured out his spirit upon all men, he said, I will give you power to be my witnesses. Is that what he says? Is that what the Bible says? I think it's Acts 1:8. I will give you power to be my witnesses. God poured out his spirit so that we would receive the power to be a witness, to share our testimony. We have no excuse. Tell your neighbor, you have no excuse. And Peter stood up and he shared, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you, and it's unto your children, and to your children's children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's calling. He hasn't given up on the human race. He loves us more than what we can even imagine. And he gave his life for us. People need to know that there is a God that really cares about them. Okay? And you can share that by sharing with people how much God cares about you and how God has helped you and what God has done for you. It's your testimony. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can share it like you share it. It's your testimony. Nobody knows what you've gone through. Nobody understands those nights that you've cried out to God. Those nights that you felt so lonely. Those nights that you've been so depressed and so down that you didn't think you could get back up and keep going. But God knows. God's been right there. He knows the deepest secrets of our heart. And he loves us. And he cares for us. And he forgives us. And he says, come on, child. Come on. Get up. I love you. I'm here to help you. People need to hear that. We're in a world that is desperate for the good news. They need some joy. They need some hope to hold on to. And He is our hope. He is our salvation. Thank you, Lord. He's our Savior. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The third thing, and we're going to wrap this up, the commitment. Luke 9:23-24, it says, let's read it together. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. So God desires for us to put Him first. That's all this is saying. Put Him first. Make Him a priority. Make His plans your plans. When God is calling the saints together, get to where the saints are gathering. When God wakes you up every day, and I'm telling you, you wouldn't have woke up this morning if it was not for God. We get so independent and often forget that our every breath is dependent upon the Lord. It's His graciousness that He woke us up this morning. And He said to us, if you want to follow Me, then you got to take up that cross daily and follow Me. And taking up the cross is not a burden. It's not a burden. It might sound like, oh, that is so depressing. No, Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us salvation. So every day when I wake up, I pick up my salvation. I am free. I am delivered. I have help. I have strength. I have God's ability. I have God's grace. When I don't know what to say, my God knows what to say because I picked up my salvation today and I'm walking with the Lord. I don't forget about it one day. Come on, we can do that. It's like, oh, I'm not going to be saved today. No, God said, if you're with Me, then you're with Me. Pick up your salvation. Take up the cross. Take up the mission that I've assigned you to and be salt and light in the world. And share the good news. Share the good news. Our world needs good news that brings joy and changes lives forever. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a praise this morning? God is so good. He is so good. Father, the words that were taught this morning, let them penetrate into our spirit. Continue to water us, Lord. Continue to teach us, Lord. And Father, I thank You for everyone that is listening today. Lord, we pray, Lord, a blessing over them, Lord, as they follow You. And Lord, You make them fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen.